Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi, Sanhedrin Ayin Tes. We begin at the Mishnah Ayin Ches Amud Beis, four lines off the bottom. Niskavein Laharig Esa Behema. Reuven attempted to kill an animal. He was aiming for the Behema, in which case, of course, if he would be successful, and even if he would kill the animal, he wouldn't be Chayav Misa. It's not considered a Reitzeach. But as things would happen, he missed. He missed the animal, v'harag es ha'adam, and he killed a person. Now Rashi says, he's potter in this case, even if the Edom warned him, don't take a chance, you might hit the person, and he says, I don't care. That doesn't constitute a hasra, because it's really a suffix. Do they really know he's going to hit the person? Of course not. It was just a precaution, right? It's called hasra suffix, and it doesn't count. And therefore, he's potter. So again, the skaven larix abehim varix adam. He's potter. Three examples. Second example is la'ived kechavim. He was aiming for a goy. V'harag es Yisrael. He ended up killing a yid. Or l'nefalim. He was aiming for a baby that was born in a manner which makes him non-viable. He was not going to survive. So in which case, there's no chiyuv misa for killing, etc. V'harag es ben kayam, as things would turn out, he killed a viable person, a viable child. In all these, we say he's potter because he wasn't really aiming for that victim. His intended victim was somebody that even if he would hit him, he would be potter, so he's potter. Now, we'll shift over to, he was aiming to this person, but he was aiming to hit a location in the victim's body, which would not constitute a threat to his life. This kavan lakoy shel masnav. He was trying to hit him on his hips. Lo hayibok de la misay al masnav. And if he hit him over there, he wouldn't kill him. Valchal alibo. Turns out that he missed. And he hit his heart. And he killed him. And this blow, this bang, was strong enough to kill him. Because it landed on his heart. Umeis. And he died potter. He's potter because he wasn't really aiming for that. So again, even though he was warned ahead of time, same as before, they can't know that he was going to hit his heart. So even though they were, he's potter. The skavan akoyse alibay. What if he was aiming for the heart? And truthfully, this punch, this blow, could have killed him. It had the ability, had the force to kill him if it landed on his heart. But as things would turn out, he missed the heart. Right? And he landed on his thighs. So whether it was a punch, whether it was a rock, whatever. And this blow, this strike, this stone, this weapon, was evaluated as not being able to kill the person. By landing on his thigh. So in that location, he would not be susceptible. And it turns out that he died. He died anyways. Some quirky thing happened to him, and he died. Potter, once again, he's potter. And Rashi says, the formula is like this. There are two conditions. Tarti bo'ina, says Rashi. Second line from the top. The tarti bo'ina, shehei miskavan l'makas misa, v'sheyaken l'makas misa. His kavan, his intention, has to be to kill him, to do something, an act, which is considered the makas misa, to hit an intended victim for which he would be liable for, a Yisrael, a Ben Kayama, right? A person as opposed to an animal. And it has to come with that force to kill him. And ultimately, it needs to have developed that way too. The resulting act had to have been Makas Misa, as opposed to this case where it landed on his Masnaim, where it shouldn't be killing him. Okay, so two conditions have to be met to get him guilty. Continues the Mishnah. Another couple of examples of these halachis. This kavan halachis is a gadol. He was aiming for an adult. And this blow would not theoretically kill an adult. Problem is, he hit a child by mistake and he killed him. And this blow could kill a child. Umay said the child died in his potter. Because here you're missing the first condition. He wasn't trying to. This kavalak is a cotton. What about the other way? He was aiming for the child. And this force could have killed the cotton. So the first condition is met. Problem is, the second condition is not there. Because ultimately, he hit an adult with this light force that shouldn't be killing an adult. He killed him anyways. This strike should not be killing a gadol. And somehow he died. Again, he's potter. Aval. But here comes the final case where both conditions are met. His intention and result. Avon skavalakal masnav. But he's trying to hit his masnayim. Vayuba kadei lahamis al masnav. And they would have killed him. Valchalal libay. He missed the masnayim and he hit the heart. Umeis and he died. Of course he's chayiv. Because although it changed locations, it's irrelevant. The intention is there, the result is there. Skavalakal is a gadol. He's trying to hit the adult with such a force that would have killed him. He missed the adult, hit the child, and he died. Umeis. Again, he's chayev. So although it was a different person or a different location in the body, it's irrelevant. He intended on killing and he killed. Reb Shimon Omer, afilu neskaven, he disagrees. When you miss, when you miss aim, you're potter. You're only chayev if you actually end up killing the person you intended to kill. He's going to learn it from a pasuk. We'll see. Shimon Aimer, afilu miskaven arag hazeh, even a person who tried to kill Reuven, v'arag hazeh ultimately killed Shimon, potter. Now, Rav Shimon Ahaya, Rav Shimon is relating to what part of the Mishnah? Ilim HaSeif, is going on the last part of the Mishnah where we speak about a similar case where he was aiming for this one, he had that one, and he's chayiv. Rav Shimon Poitur and Berle. Why is Rav Shimon sort of repeating the whole story again? Afilu miskaven. He should simply say, he's potter. What you said chayiv, I say potter. If he's going back on the most recent case. El Arish, rather, he is referring to the first part of the Mishnah, which discussed niskaven la'aragas ha-behema, v'aragas ha-adam, la'evit yachavim, v'aragas yisroel, l'nafalim, v'aragas ben kayam. Three cases where he is potter, because the outcome was not something which generates guilt. Because the intention was not an act of murder. He was aiming for behemo. He was aiming for a goy, a navel. However, let's make a diuk, an inference. If he intended on killing somebody, who he would be guilty for? Even if he missed that person, rather killed somebody else, such as if he was aiming for Reuven and he killed Shimon, he's really chayav. Because the intent and the result both generate guilt. And both conditions are met. On this, Reb Shimon Omer, no, I disagree. I feel even in this case, he aimed for Reuven and he hit Shimon, he's potter. And Rashi explains, so why did Reb Shimon have to go back to the Reisha? We have a similar discussion in the Sefer as well. So he says, because otherwise, there would be room to misunderstand Reb Shimon. Perhaps he's exempting all the cases in the Mishnah. So, even the case where, if he's going back to the most recent cluster of cases, we have basically two cases there. We have, he aimed for one person hit the other. Okay, Reb Shimon would disagree on that, but there's that case where he was aiming for the Masnayim, and he would have killed him there. And it landed on Liboy, and he killed him, and that Reb Shimon would agree is chayiv because it's one and the same person, right? That's why Reb Shimon specifically sort of wrapped things up again. He says, he wants to make it clear. He's going only on the diuk of the ratio, only on the case where he missed the person who he intended to kill. Okay, so knowing that, pshita, the following case is pretty clear to us. Koi Reuven v'Shimon. Suppose Reuben and Shimon are standing on the corner. V'amar, and the murderer says, Levi says, I know the Reuben come Achamon, I'm aiming for Reuben. The Shimon like Achamon, I'm not aiming for Shimon. And ultimately he struck at Shimon. Hayinu pluktai, okay, that's the machlekes. Chacham say chayev. Reb Shimon says pot. However, Amar lechad min ayumai. What if? He says, you know, I don't really care. Whoever I hit, I'm good. My, what's the halacha? See, here it's a bit different. He wasn't aiming for one person and missed him and hit the other person instead. He embarked on this, you know, ambiguous journey. I'm going to kill somebody. Perhaps even Reb Shimon would agree that he's chayev. Inami, another question would be, Kosova Reuben Minimsa Shimon Mai. There's one person standing there. Levi thinks it's Reuben. And it turns out to be Shimon. So he's aiming for that person. Thinking that it's Reuben. Turns out to be Shimon. Would you say, well, here it's better than the previous case of the Mishnah because he didn't miss. He was aiming for this goof, for this person. For this goof. That's called miskaven. On the other hand, you can say, since he didn't really want to kill a Shimon, that's called Eini miskaven. So that's the question. My Toshma, let's try to bring it right. The Sanyu, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon himself says, he's only chayiv, he's only guilty. Shiyem leplein lein miskaven. He specifically says, I'm aiming for this person. And he kills that person. As opposed to the previous two cases, it's not going to work. Because there is no specific, in the first case where there are two people, there was no specific victim in mind. Anybody, any of those two. That's not called with plenty any miskaven. Likewise, when there was mistaken identity, again, you're missing this point. He wasn't really mechaven for Shem. So he's part. Okay, now comes the big question. My time with Reb Shimon. So why is Reb Shimon saying Potter in this case? He aimed to kill, he killed, right? Amakrov, Arav, Loi, Vikam, Olav. This is the pasuk in describing the murderer. He ambushed him. He attacked him. Rashi says, it's an extra pasuk. Didn't have to say, V'arav, Loi. We learn, Achi, Yiskavan, Loi. There has to be Kavana specifically for this victim. That's Reb Shimon's source. Otherwise, you're Potter. Rabbanon. What do Rabbanon do with this pasuk? Rabbanon say Yochai, right? Amri v'Rabbanai, they apply the pasuk for something else, for the famous halacha called Kol Kavua, something which is established in its place, in its context, in its home environment, in its setting, is considered like 50-50, even though it's just a small percentage relative to the bigger picture. It has chashivas as though it takes over 50% of the whole equation. Let's see. Prat Lazarek Evan Lagoy. So it's coming to exempt a person. Goy means a group of people, okay? Amongst them you have Yisraelim and Goyim. And he takes a rock and he throws it into the group of people trying to kill somebody. He doesn't know who he's going to kill. Turns out he killed a Yisrael. He's Potter. He's Potter. Right? So Barav Lay means. It has to be specifically to that, to the Yisrael, but as opposed to a group of people comprised of Yisraelim and Goyim. Now, what are we talking about? What is this group comprised of? What's the makeup of the group? I have 10 people in the group, 9 are Goyim and 1 is a Yisrael. Of course he's going to be Potter, because he can say, we can say, most likely he was aiming for the Goyim. There were more Goyim than... It's most likely he was going to strike at a guy because it's 9 against 1. So in terms of determining the nature of his throwing act, so to speak, you can easily say it was intended for a guy because it's mostly guy. Forget about the pasuk. Just plain roiv. The roiv method would allow you to exempt this person because most are guy. Inami, palgo, palgo. Or let's say it's only 50-50. 5 Israel and 5 goyim. Again, he's going to be acquitted. Safek nefashis lahakal. Because he could say, I was aiming for the goy. And we could determine his act likewise, because it's 50-50. Safek nefashis lahakal. Pasuk says v'itzilu eda. You have to seek to exonerate him. V'itzrichas. Apparently, the case is the ikatisha Yisrael v'kusi echad b'nei. It's 9 against 1 in favor of the Yisrael. 9 Yisrael and 1 guy. So here, the roiv factor works against the thrower, mostly Yisrael. Havli kusi kavua. But the fact is, there's a guy stationed there within this group that's called kavua. He's parked in the group. When there's a kavua, we treat it like 50-50. We look at it as though the kusi comprises 50% of this group. This group is 50% Israel, 50% goyim, and therefore, right, a kavua is not batal b'roiv. He's chashev. He belongs there. It's his home environment, so to speak. This is his group for the time being. He's not batal in the rest. He doesn't get nullified. And therefore, you have to reckon him as a very prevalent factor, in which case we look at it like he's 50-50. That's the halacha. That's the gzeres hakasev. And it's applicable in halachas of kashrus, of meat, and right? A person purchased some meat. Even if it was just one non-kosher meat store amongst 100 kosher meat stores, you can't say, well, it's kosher, because Rav is kosher, because he purchased it from the store, and the store is kavua, it's an established entity. It's not bottle on the rest. So you're dealing with a 50-50 chance, so to speak. So here, the chiddush of the pasuk is that he's potter, despite the fact that there's only one guy there. We look at it like a suffix in terms of the determining the nature of his throwing act. Is it an act of murder or not? 50-50, so he's potter. And that's learned from Barav Loi. Now, Vishlam the Rabban and the Amrin is Kavan Haragazav Haragazav Chayev. So, according to the Rabban, who say that if you aim for Reuven, you kill Shimon, you're Chayev. The Chsiv is based on a Pasuk. Chayinatsu Anashim. Nuk, Vishara. Reuven and Shimon having a real violent fist fight, aiming to kill each other. And they miss, and they strike at a expectant woman. And they ruin her unborn child. Speaking that they're trying to kill each other. The chesiv, as the pasuk says, im asan ye. If it turns out that he killed a woman, you kill him. So clearly, even if you miss aim, you're chayv misa. That if you're aiming for one person, for your friend, you kill the isha, you're potter. So what do you do with the pasuk? Which sounds like you take your life, you take the murderer's life. Mom, the answer is he has to pay. We don't kill him. He has to pay compensation to the woman's family. Okay, the Rebbe, as Rebbe says, the son, Rebbe Omer, v'nasata nefesh achas nefesh, means moment, payments. Atzer Omer, you're telling me it's moment. Or yein elo nefesh mamas. Maybe it means taking of his life. The answer is nemer nesina lamato, but nemer nesina lamato. We have the losha nesina. In the pasuk later on, which says, right, from asan yeh, v'nasata nefesh achas nefesh, pasuk we just mentioned. V'nemer nesina lamala, we have a similar lashon in the previous pasuk, where the unborn children were destroyed, so you have to pay to the husband. Mala halamam, just like over there, clearly says, v'nasan, you pay, v'flilam, you pay. Compensate the father of those unborn children for the value of those children. Afkanom here as well. It simply means compensation, monetary compensation. Okay, so again, so far we have a case of Meskaven to kill Reuben and kill Shimon, according to the Rabbanon Yochai Misa, according to Rabbi Shimon Potter from Misa, but there's payment. Amar Rava, there's another opinion which exempts him completely, no payment at all. Hi, the Tanit Vechiske, the following Brisa, which was disseminated in the Beis Medrash of Chizkia, Mavkum mid Rebbe, Mavkum the Rabbanim, disagrees with Rebbe, who says there's monetary payment, and disagrees with the Rabbanim, who say that he gets Misa for killing the wrong person. Because according to Tanit Vechiske, there's no Mamon, there's no Misa, there's nothing. Tanit Vechiske, we have a pasuk which reads like this. Ma'akabehima Yishalman, a person strikes an animal, kills it, earns it, he has to pay. A person kills somebody, a human being, he gets killed. The Torah here is connecting two concepts to learn from each other. Ma'aka Adam, u'ma'aka behem. We connect the two things. Ma'aka behem is just when a person strikes an animal, kills or injures an animal, and is liable to the, you know, monetary damages. It doesn't matter what he was intending, it was accidental, right? Whether he was aiming, whether he was missing, it doesn't matter. Whether he was hitting the animal down or going up, in a downward motion, an upward motion, it doesn't matter. There's no exemption of payments. In all these situations, irrespective of position, of timing, of circumstance, you got to pay up. Likewise, in a similar vein, when it comes to striking a person, killing a person, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter. Circumstance plays no role. In any which circumstance, doesn't matter. We're not going to charge him for it. He's exempt from money, because Allah is when a person does something that could generate misas bezdin upon himself. This act is an act which is liable to a death penalty. There is no discussion of monetary payments. Period. Even though ultimately he doesn't get misas bezdin because it wasn't miskaven or was, it doesn't matter. There's no money to speak of. Period. Now let's just conclude. My shein miskaven. When we said he wasn't aiming, what does that mean? He wasn't intending. Ilay mishein miskaven klal. He wasn't trying at all to do this act to kill the person. That's the shagig option you mentioned. Accidental, right? You mentioned shagig and any miskaven. Two different scenarios. Elab Shita, apparently, shayim miskaven means lazeh. He wasn't aiming for this person, but he was aiming for somebody else. El lazeh. And still, what does the Brisa say? No payments. Uktani l'chayv imamen el l'poitra imamen. We don't apply monetary liabilities. He's fully exempt. Now, vipar katalu. If this Brisa follows, let's just analyze further. If this brisa follows the Rabbanon, who say when you aim for Reuben and kill Shimon, you chayv misa, vivar katalu, of course you don't pay. My istrich l'mifter mamon. It's obvious you don't have to pay money. There's no point in discussing it. El alav shmamin olav par katalu. Apparently this brisa holds like Rabbi Shimon. That when you aim for Reuben, you hit Shimon, you're not chayv misa olav par katalu. And still, v'olav par mamon, you don't have to pay. So here's another shita. It exempts them completely. So let's just summarize. One aimed from Reuven and killed Shimon, right? Killed Shalev and Miskaven. Hacham say, he's Chayev Misa. It's based on the Pasuk. They were aiming for each other. They struck the woman. And we see that they, V'nasata Nefesh Achas Nefesh, means literally they get killed. Right? The person who murders gets Misa. Reb Shimon says, it's no Chayev Misa. It's Pater. Based on the Pasuk, V'arav Loi. He has to take direct aim at his victim, as intended victim. Rabban used the pasuk Barav Leif for the halacha of Kol Kavua, Kmechtza Mechtza, the group of people that each person is considered an established entity, does not become bottle to the rest. Okay, so what's the end result? There's no Misa, but is there Mamoin? According to Rebbe, there is Mamoin. According to Tanit Vechizkiah, there's no Mamoin either. Continues Mishnah. Reitzeach Shinis Arab Bachir. Interesting story. A murderer killed somebody. Should be chayiv misa, right? And now he's mixed in, got himself mixed into a group of people, and we can't really, we have no way to identify who the ritzeach is. Kulam turim. There's nothing we can do. They're all exempt. Right? We can't kill them, so everybody's part. Rabbi the Omer Koyin Sinai Sinai Kippah. No. We don't kill them outright, but we cause them to die. We put them into this narrow, solitary confinement, this little room. So each person gets this little teeny cubicle. They force them to stay there. They feed them food, which will eventually kill them, as we're going to see later in the Gemara. Kol chayev misas shenis avar zeh bazeh. Now let's say we have people that were found guilty in the bezdin, given the death penalty. But different types of misas. Okay, and we know there are different levels of severity, different levels of punishment. We have four misas, right? All lined up and based on severity. So now, shenis ara zeh bazeh, they got mixed into each other. Nidoidim bekala. You must apply the more lenient form of misa to the entire group, but you can't take a chance. For instance, Haneskola ben Israf, and those who were meant to get skila, which according to the Chachamim is the most severe, ben Israfen, with those that are meant to get Strafe, which is number two. So Chacham say, since skila is more severe, they will get Strafe. Reb Shimon, remember, holds the other way. Strafe is more severe, so you'll get skila. Reb Shimon Aymer, nidaydim is skila. Why should Strafe chamura? Because Strafe was worse. Chacham Aymer, no, nidaydim is Strafe. They get Strafe, shaskila chamura, because skila is worse. Amlan Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon took the opportunity to challenge the Rabbanan's system. If not for the fact that Strafe would be more severe, it wouldn't have been applied to a woman from a Kayin family who deviated from her husband. Apparently, due to her high stature, high status, she gets a more severe punishment. She gets Strafe. Apparently, Strafe is more severe than Skila. Amar Loi, they responded, well, if not for Skila being more severe, it wouldn't have been applied to a person who curses Hashem or worships an idol, which Rashi says is the worst of the worst, going against Hashem. Apparently, that's most of it. Okay, one more scenario of a mix-up. Hanerogen benechnaken. Those deserving hereg, which is death by sword, with those that deserving chenek, which one do they all get? Reb Shimon ben Brasayev, because he holds that's more, that's lighter. Chamayim bechenek, because that's lighter. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Reitzeach was mixed up with others. Man acherim, who are these others? Ilim acherim ksherim, other people that are kosher, meaning they did nothing wrong, innocent people. Pshita, of course you don't kill them. I mean, why even discuss this case? Vesu, additionally, Baha, Lema, Rabbi Yehuda, Kainzin, Oysen, Lakib, how could Rabbi Yehuda say, we take him to this room and force him to die? I mean, they're all righteous people. How could he do that? Amar Avo, Amar Shmuel, so we're going to have several pshat. Hacha beritzeach shel nigmar dine shenis arev, beroitzchim acherem shel nigmar dine naskinu. We're speaking about not such righteous people. Ruvain, who they ritzeach, whose verdict has not yet been issued, okay, his din was not yet concluded, went ahead and milled in and mixed into a bunch of people, roitzchim, who were established murderers, who had a gemar din, and they were meant to be killed. But they have one member amongst them whose verdict was not yet issued. So should we just proceed and conclude his judgment, even though we can't identify him, we don't know where he is? Rabbanan Savri, ain goimrin dina shel adam ela b'fanav. You can only conclude a din if the person is present and recognizable. Otherwise, you can't do it. Interesting. If you can't pinpoint him, you can't identify him, of course, he's not coming forward, right? So that doesn't allow us to be goimrin dina. We have to know who he is. We have to deal with him directly, personally, see if he's guilty, see if he's innocent, try to, you know, analyze his case personally. Otherwise, you can't proceed. So we're stuck. We're stuck. Hilchos Kulam turns. At this point, he's considered innocent until proven guilty. So that exonerates the whole group by default. Rabbi Yehuda Mefterinu B'Legamer Namiloi. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, you can't just send them home. Kivin the Reitz Chenino. You know you have a group of murderers here. You can't just send them home. So true, we can't, technically, we can't do a din on this one person that's among them. So Hilchos, Kaitzin, Eitzin Lekiba. Second best is force them to die, cause them to die in a roundabout way. That's Shmuel's pshat. Rish Lakish Amar, he has another pshat in the mission. Ba'adam dekul yam lepligi deptiri. Truthfully, if this reitzeach would be a person mixed into the rest, everybody would agree deptiri, the entire group is pot. Rather, we're speaking about an animal. Avalacha b'shur shulenigmar dino yishenis arav b'shvorem achirem shenigmar dino kemitzuki. We're speaking about a similar case. Instead of people, we're speaking about animals. An animal who kills, of course, gets mitzah, but he also has to go through the whole din process. So one animal was accused of killing, of murdering a person, but was not yet run through the process completely. His verdict was not yet concluded. And he got mixed into Shvarim Achirim, Shenigmar Dinan, whose verdict was issued. They were meant to be killed. That's the machlek. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan say, well, just like if it would happen to a person, you cannot proceed, as we explained before. Same with the animal. The animal, the procedure applied to an animal is modeled after the process applied to a person. Kemisa Zbalim, right? Rabbanan Savri, Kemisa Zbalim, Kapach Zashar. Same Misa applied to the owner is applied to the animal. Ve'ein, Goimrin, Dino, Shoshayel, Befanav. You can only conclude the share is here. And identifiable. So you're stuck. Hilkach Kulam Pturin. So you send them all home. Back to the barn. Rabbi Yehuda Savri, Koinsin, Oysin, Lakipo. He disagrees. It's by an animal. It's different. just send them to the keeper, and he caused them to die. Amar Rava, Yochi. I have a kasha on both pshatim, on Shmuel's pshat, who learns that there are people, and one of them is a Ritzeach, getting mixed up with a bunch of other Ritzchim. Okay? And we have Rish Lakish that was speaking about animals in a similar case. Yochi, if that's the case, how do you explain a brisa which was sort of an add-on to the Mishnah? Even if my father, whose name was Chalafta, was a very righteous man, my name would be amongst these people, you know, in this group, the same would apply. They would all be patur. What's the point of pointing this out? So first of all, clearly, we're speaking about people, not animals. Unlike Rish Lakish's pshat, the Mishnah is discussing a group of mixed up animals. Secondly, Shmuel, who said that was speaking about a Ritzeach, Shalinig Mardina, mixed into other Ritzchim, Shnig Mardinam. So what's Rabbi Yossi's point? Well, even my father was there. If he was a Ritzeach, he's like anybody, he's just better than anybody else. He was once a Tzaddik, but today he's a Ritzeach. We're speaking about a group of Ritzchim. Elamar Rava says, Rava, apparently, in view of Rabbi Yossi's elaboration, highlighting his father's presence, the Pshat, the Mishnah, must be different. He must have understood the case of the Mishnah differently. Elam Ravachi Kamar, we're speaking about the following case, a totally different case. There were two people standing, Shnayim Shoyu Imdin. Reuven and Shimon was standing on the street corner, and suddenly a bullet shot out from amongst them. We don't know who shot the bullet. Yotza Chetz, my name, an arrow came shooting out from between the two. Vara gonna kill the person. Too bad, Shnayim Turin, they're both Potter. We can identify the murderer. They're both part. And on that, Rabbi Yossi says, guess what? He wants to highlight the point of the Mishnah. Even if one of these two individuals was a very righteous man, a big tzaddik like my father, no chance in the world that he killed, it still will not serve to incriminate his partner. Rabbi Yossi, I feel Abba Chalafta Benin. If two people, one of them is a big tzaddik, and a bullet comes shooting out. Don't just assume it's the other person. You can't. That's the first part of the mission. So when we say Ritzeach, I mixed up, that's what we mean. Initially, it was not really known who killed. So the pot. Now Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you kill them indirectly, he's not going on this case. He's going on a different case. So the mission is like missing some words. We have to insert the following insert. Vishar Shnig Mardin, we proceed to another case. An animal who is found guilty, shinus arav shvar machir ma'alya, mixed into other innocent animals, soiklin oisa, the bezdin will apply skila to all of them. Because as Rashi says, look, the owner can't do anything with his animal, because if there is an animal in there that's chayiv misa, it's asur bahano. So none of these animals can be used in any case. So just cause them to die. Rabbi Daimer, we don't have to burden the bezin to go through this process of killing the animals to do a skila, right? Koins and ice in the keeper, just take them to the keeper and have them die from hunger. And we have a brisa which supports this pshat in the Mishnah, Matanya, Parashe Misa, Achakach Yoldo. We have a cow who killed somebody and then gave birth. Ima Shalai Nigmar Din Yoldo, if she gave birth before the Gmar Din, though the mutter, you could benefit from the offspring. If the bezin already issued a verdict on the animal and then it gave birth, though the usher, you can't enjoy the animal. You can't benefit from the offspring. Now comes the punchline. This animal got mixed into other animals, and those into other animals, a big mix, a double mix. We take him to the keeper and let them die like that. That's Rabbi Doshita, Rabbi Shimon Omer. He was like the Tanakama, we actually do skila, even though it's very, burdensome process to do skila to all these animals, but that's the way we do it, because we want to ensure that we fulfill the mitzvah of skila, at least on the animal that's deserving of skila. We take the entire group to the bezdin, and we do skila to the group. Okay. So we had the first sugya, which dealt with the kavana aspect. As Rashi explained, two conditions must be met for a reitzeach to be chayav misa. Number one, he has to be meskaven lamakas misa, and ultimately the resulting blow has to be something that has the ability to kill. What if he aimed for one person, struck another person? Chacham say chayav, Rav Shem says pater. According to Rebbe, there is payment in that case. According to Tanu Bechizkiya, there is no payment either. Then we have the Mishnah of a mix-up, reitzeach and sa'ar b'achirim. We have three pshat in the Gemara on that, and we have the other shayla of one chayiv misa got mixed in other chayiv misa, different types of misas. The thing is, we apply the lighter punishment, Rav Shimon's formula, and the Rabbanan's formula as well. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.